This is a lecture from the Grillo Health Information Center presentation, Aging, A Hero's Journey. This is Eileen Naomi Rusk, a PhD and neurobehavioral consultant at the Brain and Behavior Clinic in Boulder.
Hello, everyone. So happy that you're here. So happy to be the first speaker on this panel to honor Grillo and explore the heroic nature of aging. It took me a long time to decide how to dive into this humongous topic, and sometimes life and synchronicity decide for us, right? So today I just witnessed the end of a heroic journey. An hour ago I stepped out of a memorial for a beloved friend who died several weeks ago. Gary died of a very challenging neurodegenerative disease called diffuse Lewy body disease. And there was some suspicion that he actually was exposed to chemicals during his time in the Vietnam War. He told me this story within the last 2 years. One loud and chaotic dusk, he was walking from one camp to another in Southeast Asia during the war. And as he's walking from one camp to another, he heard some noise. He saw a light. He heard soft sounds. As he approached the sounds, he saw that it was the entrance to a cave where Buddhist monks were sitting and chanting. This he recounted to me decades later, just a few years ago. He was invited to sit by the light of their fire, invited onto a small chair, and there he chanted and meditated with them. He did this in the midst of chaos and war. This transformed him, and when he came back to the States, he ended up being this incredible psychologist, very committed to a mindfulness practice throughout his life, inspiring many, many people. He had many hero's journeys, but the most relevant one today is his final journey of losing control of his body. He maintained incredible presence, and this is really the message. He maintained incredible presence throughout his illness. I could still hear him laughing through his distress. So he came back from war without any regrets and with gifts to share. And that's why I decided to use this as like the opening story for the hero's journey. Out of some of the darkest times come the brightest moments. We don't always see it, though. So for a few decades, in my day job, I've worked with people who have things that go wrong with their brains and their thinking. But for tonight, I'm going to focus on the positive things, the opportunities which accompany aging, and that goes what goes right with us as we age. Let's call it the new age of aging. It includes the quality of resilience, which we often use to describe children who thrive successfully in spite of adversity. I think there was a Grillo talk on resilience, actually. But I'm thinking we can kind of apply it to aging, actually. What can make us more resilient as we age? Well, I want to look at aging not from the perspective of extended lifespan, not just extended lifespan, because we live longer, but expanded capacity and consciousness. I think it begins and ends with really seeing ourselves with eyes wide open, waking up, loving, and forgiving. These may be our biggest acts of heroism and the legacy we ultimately leave. Of course, I realize that at the age of 52, I'm speaking about the wishes I have for my own heroic journey. Some perspective. Aging is a side effect of being alive in the first place. It's happening when we're little fetuses, but we don't call it aging. When we lose our first tooth, and then at some point along the way it gets named. I'm not quite sure when. It's probably different for each of us. Usually it dawns on us at around 50 that we're all going to traverse this journey from cradle to grave. And we hope to go through it well and healthy into our 90s. Joseph Campbell's, you all have those little pieces of paper, right? I kind of did a little schematic drawing. This whole, under the umbrella of this talk is called Aging the Hero's Journey. Joseph Campbell's legacy to us is the archetypal hero's journey. All of our fairy tales and myths, Moses and Jesus and the Buddha, and more recently, the Dalai Lama and Nelson Mandela, although we just lost him, they've all taken this route to wisdom. I'm going to tie aging into the hero's journey in this talk. I'm going to focus on you, who are all the heroes. The call to adventure, the wake-up call or the threshold, using helpers along the way, and returning home wiser with gifts to share. You and I are called to become heroes when we unexpectedly leave a familiar world or a comfortable place to undertake an adventure of sorts when we're called onto a path of an incredible importance. This path is not always so comfortable. On our journey, we traverse thresholds, navigate life-altering challenges, which not only change us, but really offer us the possibility of returning home wiser and with riches we did not have before we embarked. So not only do we return home changed forever, but hopefully we return home with gifts to share with our families and community. Heroes often don't recognize themselves as heroes, though. Many of you in the audience don't see yourselves as heroes, especially if you're in the middle of a dark place or feeling full of obstacles. When was the last time you said to yourself, "Oh, I'm depressed, I'm fearful, and I'm in pain, and I'm feeling like I'm on a heroic journey"? Not, right? None of us. But I think that indeed it's possible to positively reframe this, and it's the positive reframing which cultivates the hero's identity. And sometimes we just need somebody to remind us of that, that there's a bigger picture. So this journey of aging is also a journey of saging, as Reb Zalman will talk to us about later. But for now, I am here to tell you that we're all heroes and heroines. If you look at your handout, you're going to see that the first big steps on this journey are called Call to Adventure and Crossing the Threshold. This may be an invitation to climb Mount Everest, or maybe it'll be a car accident, or maybe retirement, or even a new love relationship. For many of my patients, it's cognitive or emotional problems. The call to adventure during aging for some is illness or loss. Some of you in the audience are also thinking it means losing strength in your bodies, wrinkles, cellulite. Our community and culture often defaults to aging as, "Oh no, that sucks, I don't want to do that." And of course then we default to fear. Fear and anxiety may show up at this threshold and will benefit from some heroic grit and bravery at this point. Something we don't often talk about. A brain region associated with moderating these fears is the amygdala. And this small region responds pretty automatically. That's how these subcortical regions in our brain work. I'm working on a resilience model here which supports aging by drawing from neuroscience and from the wisdom traditions. In that model, developing resilience as we age can shift the course of our fear. It offers us an alternative to the automatic response. Since aging's inevitable, we might as well embrace the wake-up call and actively turn towards the adventure, right? And one of the gifts we develop when we face eldering is wisdom. Adventure's all well and good, but what helps when things get rough? We know aging isn't for sissies, but what gives us some capacity to endure these challenges? Our brains and bodies are more healthy when we eat well, when we exercise. You guys probably know this, but there's some pretty interesting new research that's come out that supports a lot of these things very, very strongly. When we eat well, exercise, develop a mindfulness practice, and deepen our sense of belonging. On a spiritual level, it is making meaning and sensing our purpose here. Let me change gears to some details about the brain and aging. A human brain weighs about how many pounds?
3.
And it consumes about how much of our daily caloric or food intake? Just short of a third, about 25%. So we should eat well. Here I'd be irresponsible not to mention memory, though. That's what tends to suffer as we age. We lose synapses, especially in the hippocampus. Here's what happens. The brain is a full-on working memory tablet devoted to forming and storing and retrieving data. As the brain ages and synapses are lost, we have trouble finding words. Is that true for anyone here? We have trouble remembering names. You can't remember what you were supposed to buy at that grocery store, even though it was only 3 items. So to compensate, we use notes. We tell our husband or wife, our friend. We have schedules or checklists. And our iPhones become trusted allies. Is that true? It is for me. We also make fun of ourselves, which helps, right? But there are other things you can do as well. You know the expression, use it or lose it? That old expression? The best hot-off-the-press news is that we really don't lose as much as we used to think we did when we age normally. So I'm really talking about normal aging here. Our hippocampus does get smaller, our cortex does shrink, and we lose 5% of our brain volume each decade after 40 years old. Ooh, I love the awe in the audience. Ooh, ooh. We lose synapses and we lose some plasticity. And I do want to spend just a second talking about neuroplasticity, because that's what's really like a pretty exciting field now in the neurosciences. And I think we can apply a lot of this. Neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to adapt and learn new ways to do things. The brain has an inherent ability to reorganize itself by forming new connections. Lots of opportunity there. Let me give you an example. Do you know the example about London taxi drivers? London taxi drivers develop a larger posterior hippocampus because of all the complex spatial information that they're always navigating. But they studied the London taxi drivers and compared them to the London bus drivers. And in comparison, London bus drivers don't have that enlargement. Isn't that neat? Like if you take a pre-designated route, you don't get that hippocampal stimulation. Also, when the brain's injured, it compensates as well as it can by reorganizing and forming new connections in healthy parts of the brain which haven't been compromised. We can recruit our aging brains. We can nourish new connections and foster new growth by presenting our brains with what one Columbia researcher calls, and I like this, a disorienting dilemma. See, it's not the way we usually think about doing things, but if we kind of confuse ourselves a little bit and stretch ourselves, it's good for our brains. Not that comfortable, but good, but healthy. This simply means extending our brain's capacity by pushing us out of our comfort zone with novelty. Studies show that keeping our bodies and brains active with novelty can, in fact, reduce our risk for dementia, or at least delay it. Exercise is great, but it's not just exercise, again, which keeps aging brains healthy. It's novelty and intensity of what we do. So all of you who stretch in the morning and think that it's the kind of exercise that these neuroscientists talk about, it's not stretching and toning, it's actually exertion. And this way we recruit the brain's plasticity again. It's been shown that aerobic exercise especially spurs the growth of new blood vessels and increases the volume in frontal and temporal regions. I've already said those are pretty key regions for health and cognitive health especially. They're regions responsible for memory and executive functioning. In short, when we break a good sweat, the protein BDNF is produced, which stimulates the sprouting of new nerves. It's a growth factor. It's a neurotrophic factor. To give you an example, I recently advised a patient with mild cognitive impairment, true story, who loves ballroom dancing, to take up the fancy footwork of Ukrainian step dancing, like folk dance, because it's really complicated. So again, it's novelty, it's movement, and it's increased blood flow, which supports our brains in thriving. So I'm not suggesting here that that tsunami of fear around developing Alzheimer's disease is going to be quelled by this. But there are things we can do to support cognitive and psychological health as we age. This is the good stuff. That it was all good stuff. But this really was very exciting to me, actually. So it turns out that our aging brains are surprisingly competent and talented, and that longitudinal studies are finding older people are better than they were at their 20s, in their 20s, at reasoning, problem solving. We get the gist of arguments, we make better decisions, and we're really good judges of character. Another big thing is we communicate really well as we age normally. I mean, I'm not talking about someone who has an aphasia. Cognitive neuroscientists show that older people use both hemispheres of their brains in a more cooperative way. Again, like looking for compensation and plasticity. We tend to be happier, more creative, and we have fewer emotional swings. Even more so, aging offers us a perspective we didn't have before. That's because maybe we're more honest with ourselves. Maybe we know ourselves better. It seems that between 40 and 60, we've gathered momentum to age well. That is, to meet the challenges of later life. Maybe we're putting the disparate pieces of our lives together and we're weaving richer and more meaningful stories to share. Belonging helps with well-being and wellness, as these guys I'm sure are going to share with you as well. As far as finding helpers along the way, the biggest challenge for some of us is to touch into what it means to feel vulnerable, to admit that we need help and to ask for it. Saging grows as we deal with our shame a little bit and become willing to admit that we can't do something that we used to do. Wisdom may include accepting love from others and having compassion for ourselves in those vulnerable moments. That's our homework. I know that's my homework. However you cope with your hero's journey, as you greet challenge, remember that you belong. Take a moment every day to think about who you belong to and what you belong to. Social connections have been shown to consistently be good for your heart and your brain and your longevity. Finally, look at the bigger picture for why you're here. If you believe your soul has a life and it's going to live beyond the years of your body, then become a student of that. And here's my radical theory of age-related brain change, tongue-in-cheek. As our brains get a bit smaller and the space inside our craniums grow bigger, we use that extra space to expand our awareness, to forgive, and to have taken responsibility for our lives, to see ourselves with eyes wide open. If we're wiser and more loving upon our return home, then we leave these gifts as our legacy. Thanks very much for listening, and thanks for being here.
Eileen Naomi Resk, PhD, spoke as part of the December 2013 presentation, Aging, A Hero's Journey. Her talk was part of the Grillo Health Information presentation at the Boulder Public Library. I'm Shelley Schlender. I recorded this on behalf of the Grillo Center and KGNU Boulder, Denver. Find more lectures like these at their websites.